Get ready, get ready, and get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Good morning, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you that have made contributions to this ministry. For it is of great comfort and great support that you take the time and take the effort to send a contribution to this ministry. I want to also thank my pastor, Dr. Joshua Jordara, for just being himself. I pray that everything continue to prosper for him in every which way and in every manner. I also want to take the time to say to the Swafford family, to the Piper family, that God is there with you and he will always be there for you. And I want to say to Grace that God will not put any more on you than you can bear. And I'm just so thankful that I've had the opportunity of sharing and being the pastor to Sister Grace, and it's an honor that God has allotted me that opportunity. I say to the family that look to the hills which cometh your help, and know that your help, it comes from the Lord. I just want to take a few moments and just talk on the subject of a good shepherd. Steps are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 17:5 says, from the International Version, my steps have held to your path and my feet have not stumbled. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My brothers and sisters, allowing God to order your steps comes only with by faith in what is written by God. Hearing what is preached and accepting by faith that God's word is the only meaning to victory and success in reaching your destiny. When God calls you, it is a holy calling. When God calls you, it's not something that you can just wash away. Because when God calls you, it's a seal that will never leave you, nor will it forsake you. It's not a choice, but it is really an order. And when God gives you the order, he will hold you fast on your path. My brothers and sisters, know that when you're on God's path, when you're on God's path, you can never slip or fall. It's when you begin to stray away and get off the path that you begin to stumble and fall. You begin to slip, and it's very important that you as a saint never interfere with the pathway that God has given his people. Because I promise you that even though you may have been in a place or under a certain auspices for 40 or 50 years, that it does not mean that you are in charge. Please hear me when I say that you are no match for God. And you don't want to cause the man of God or the children of God to make any detours, because God don't make detours. How many of you know God don't make detours? God don't go around anything. He just keep that straight and narrow path. And I promise to let you know that if you get in his way, you ain't heard me. He'll get you out of his way. And the problem with a lot of us is that we call ourselves standing in the way of prosperity. We try to stand in the way of the prosperity in the church. But let me tell you something. God ain't going to go around you. He'll just move you out of the way. Just like debris is moved, you are only debris. And you got to note, my brothers and sisters, that don't block your own blessings. Please understand that God has his hedge of protection around his chosen people. And you need to understand that in the midst of it all, you come to find that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And God is the key to prosperity. He is the key to the removal of any debris that stands in your way. And look, sometimes the debris is a disgruntled member. Sometimes the debris is an uncle or aunt or brother or sister. And sometimes it's your wife. I ain't going to have a friend in the world. But you got to know that even though they may stand in your way sometimes, you just keep walking that straight and narrow path. And guess what? God will turn everything around. He moves debris out of your life. And if you know anything about debris, look at Hurricane Katrina, and I don't know what the name of this other hurricane that came. I think it's Laura, Delta, came in and came in to destroy, to be destructive to the surrounding areas. But look what happened. Even in the midst of its destructiveness, debris was left behind. But guess what they're doing right now? They're moving debris out of the way. God don't have to wait. He moves debris in a twinkling of an eye. And I know you may get caught up into your feelings and your pride and has been stepped on, and you feel a sense of disrespect sometimes. Be careful. The things that you can do is talk to God. God can change everything. Talk to God for direction, because only God can fix it. Remember that when you stand against the children of God, the man of God, the people of God, you're not hurting God, you're hurting yourself. Because my brothers and sisters, ain't nothing you can do to hurt God. But let me just enlighten your heart. You don't want God's wrath to come upon you because of stupidity, because of ignorance, because of arrogance, because of pride, because of self-motivation, self-preservation. You don't want God's wrath to come upon you because of these things. We have enough going on in this society, in this country right now, that we're dealing with. And what we don't need to deal with is folk coming against the church. You know, a lot of times folk just don't realize that they really need the church. And I say that because, look, God dwells in the church, and the church, a true church of God, is a place that's clean, a place that you can set up refuge, a place that you can be healed, a place that you can find peace, a place that you can find comfort. But note that even though you may detour, your steps still can be ordered by the Lord. He can get off track. We can get off track sometimes, but God can put us on track. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can stumble just like you. A man of God can, a child of God can stumble just like anybody else. But look, isn't it good to know that even in the midst of your stumbling, God can pick you up when you fall down? Anybody ever have fallen and God have picked you up? Anybody been on drugs? Had drug addiction and God picked you up? Anybody have been in an abusive relationship and God picked you up? Anybody have ever been let go from their job and God picked you up? God always picks you up when you fall down. But look, in order for him to touch bases with you in that common area, is that you got to have a relationship with the master. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And that is a true, those are true words, because when God is your shepherd, he supplies your every need. The 24th book of Psalms tells you that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So he simply has the authority to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants, and however he wants. But look at those who try to come against you in all kind of ways. He said in the 37th book of Psalms, "Fret not, you ain't heard me, thyself of evildoers, for they'll be cut off." God will make your enemy your footstool. And I know somebody out there can testify and know what I'm saying when I say God can make your enemy your footstool. Look at Job. Job's wife suggested to him to curse God, but Job stood firm on God's word. The devil sometimes uses those who are most closest to you to put debris in your path to cause you to detour. My brothers and sisters, I don't care who it is, if it's mother, father, sister, brother, honey, daddy, whoever you want to say, never let anybody come in between you and God. And even though the devil uses a woman sometimes as an instrument to influence the fall of man and vice versa, God used a woman here to give us the greatest gift of all. And you ought to know what the greatest gift of all is. The greatest gift of all is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God placed Jesus in the belly of a woman and allowed God to nurture and get to its proper state, and then brought him out and delivered him to the world, and the world rejected him. You ain't heard me. But if you're one of those who are rejecting Jesus on a regular basis, I stop by to tell you, you have the opportunity to make things right. You got to stand tall for the Lord, my brother. Stand firm on his word. If he falls, he'll pick you up. And I want you to know that I say to all of you, whatever you do, spread the word of God. Stand firm, stand up, stand tall, and stand on his word, because your steps are or should be ordered by the Lord. So note, brothers and sisters, when I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, my soul, you ain't heard me, my soul, I have no doubt about giving my soul to the one who created me, and his name is Jesus. Remember, the 23rd Psalm will become effective in every way if you give your life to the Lord, because it says that when your steps are ordered by the Lord, he is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Note that we should be a peacemaker and not a problem. Be a bridge and not a barrier. Be a step and not stupid. And be some help and not hindrance. But my brothers and sisters, there is an order in everything that you do. And when you are ordered by God, ask God to order yourself. Behind every strong man, there's a strong woman. And you got to know that you got to be the head and not the tail. Remember, God wants to continue to bless you. He wants to continue to keep you. He wants to continue to lift you up. He wants to continue to shine his light upon you. And look, I'm so glad that it says, weeping may endure for a night, but you got to watch out now. Joy's going to come in the morning. Look, I'm so glad that you tune into this broadcast on this day. For note that this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. This is a ministry that where we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church, ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to know that God wants you. Now, all of you that wanna make a contribution to this ministry, you can make checks, money order, payable to Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. And you can mail it to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. Or you can cash out it to $ Gregory Tenney, $ GREGORYTENNIE. And God will richly bless you. Thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you once again for standing firm. And thank you for standing tall in the word of God. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Thank you for joining us on the radio. My name is Pastor Grady Blackwell, First St. Mark Baptist Church. We're a church that's seeking the lost and lifting the found. So I just want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Tell everybody that Grady Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Emeritus Grady Blackwell. I'm coming to you live from the radio station, 88.1. We thank you for tuning in. I'd like for you to tell everybody, call them on the phone, and tell them that Pastor Emeritus Grady Blackwell with the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air. I'd like to say to you right now, thank you for tuning in. I want you to know that this radio station is a blessing to the community, and it's a blessing to our church. Look, let me tell you about First St. Mark Baptist Church real quickly. First St. Mark Baptist Church that have church service every Sunday. We start at 10 o'clock with Sunday school, 11 o'clock regular worship service, and we go on. On Monday, we celebrate recovery from alcohol and drugs and different things like that from 6 to 7 on a Monday. On a Wednesday, certainly we have a fundraiser where we sell lunches, but on Wednesday we have prayer service. We have Bible study from 6:30 until 7:30. Every Wednesday. And we don't go over that time because we realize some people have other things that they want to do. And during the other months, we have children going to school and we don't want to keep them overtime. But we have some good Bible study on Wednesday. People that attend, they hate to miss. I tell you that right now because they have such a wonderful time studying the Word of God and hearing the Word of God talk about, teach, and sometimes preach. But that's on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, we have a community free prayer breakfast. Biscuit, toast, eggs, bacon, sausage, grits. And some people talk good, real good about the grits, you know. Some people say they come just for the grits only. Never seen grits cooked so good as on a Thursday morning at the community free prayer breakfast at First St. Mark Baptist Church. Now the time for that breakfast is 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 until 10, or until it run out. So we thank you. We just wanted to mention those things. First St. Mark is open almost every day of the week. You can come in and ask for prayer and you get prayer. You can call in and ask for prayer. The number you call right now is 318-541-0427. That's the number you can call for almost anything. Prayer, just anything. Having a hard time, just want to sit down and talk to somebody. First St. Mark is there, and they want to be a beacon in the community, a light in the community where you can go and get some kind of relief, some kind of way. So I just wanted you to know that. I want to say happy Father's Day to everyone, all these fathers that may be listening. Happy Father's Day. It's your day on tomorrow. Now, today is Juneteenth. We know that. And Juneteenth has been made a federal holiday. And that is just a blessing from the Lord on high that Juneteenth has been made a federal holiday. I would say to the people, let us continue to celebrate Juneteenth, just like we celebrate some of the other holidays. But I would be more specific. Pull out the grill, throw some meat on there, have a barbecue, celebrate Juneteenth. The Lord has blessed us with a federal holiday for Juneteenth. And we just want to continue to celebrate and be thankful to the Lord for making this possible. Now, I wanted to say a little something about Father's Day. You know, our time on this is always limited because we only have 15 minutes. Again, I'm Pastor Emeritus Grady Blackwell with the First St. Mark Baptist Church. And I was looking in my Bible, and I seen something in Acts and in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 11th through the 16th verse. And I'm not going to read it, but you can just go in and look at it as you want to. Let's do a prayer. We're just going to say just a short prayer for Father's Day. Let's bow our head, put our mind on the Lord. Our Father, on this Father's Day Eve, we're grateful that we can call you Father. By addressing you as Father, we are aware that this expresses the love, the care, the protection, and the provision that you have given to us. Help us as earthly Father, our Father, to express some of these same qualities in our relationship. You are infinite and all-knowing. We are finite and so limited in our knowledge. Help us to pattern our lives on you and use what knowledge we have in an effort to find and to do your will. We just thank you, Lord, for being a Father that we can pattern after, Father that we can raise our family after. Thank you. Please forgive us our sin and guide us with your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. One thing I wanted to talk about in Fathers, and just something short if I can. Remember, we're looking at 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 16. That's what we're looking at. You may not have your Bible, but I'll just go. I tell you what I was looking at. There's a guy named Kenneth Chaplin, and in his book, he wrote, Help, I'm a Layman, wrote of a time several years ago when he came home from the office just in time for the evening meal. They had hardly began to eat when his five-year-old daughter asked him if he would be home that night. And he was embarrassed to answer because if he would be home that night, he was embarrassed to answer because he was scheduled to speak to a group of people on the topic, what a good father ought to be. Now, this guy, you know, he home at Father's Day, but he was going to leave and don't speak at a place on what a father ought to be. And yet his five-year-old girl sitting at the dinner table asked him, was he going to be there for Father's Day? But he told her what he was going to do. One thing he decided to do, he decided to say, why don't I let her participate and I'll feel a lot better. So he took out a notepad and he laid it down. He said, look to the five-year-old, write me something down on this paper what you think a father ought to be like. And so the little girl, his daughter, five-year-old, began to write. And as they were eating at the table, every once in a while, she would grab up in his lap and whisper something in his ear. And one thing she started whispering, one thing she said, catch a fish. Then after a while, she wrote another little note, build a fire, fly a kite, catch a butterfly, plant a flower, get a kitty cat out of the mud. And she went on with this. And I kind of thought about it. I was going to take these same notes to that meeting where I had to speak on a topic on what a father ought to be. But he said he began to think about it. None of these things cost any money. And sometimes we fathers spend so much time on getting the right amount of money so we can buy our children something to make them, we think, feel good. But I'm hearing here that it don't take so much money, but it takes us, fathers. It takes us to make children really feel wanted and feel happy if we could just listen at what this five-year-old girl has said. Do just a little thing. It don't take a lot of money, but it take a lot of you. Take a lot of love. Playing with the kids, doing the thing that they do, and letting them know that you are there for them. So I just wanted to get that point across on Father's Day. And I have just a little bit more. A father is so important to us. Sometimes we do some things that we shouldn't do. One of the things that we do wrong, your life is like a vapor. Other biblical texts categorize life in the same manner as a declining shadow, and that's in the book of James. A whiff of breath, a vanishing cloud. The thought is something fleeting and entrancing, here one moment and certainly gone. The brevity of life should compel us to emphasize only the truly important. We pour out so much of ourselves into meaningless. Consider this true story of children of a family who was left largely in the care of servants. All I'm trying to say, this family was rich. They had servants that took care of them all the time. They was that rich. And there's some families like that now. But when the father lost his fortune, the servant was discharged and the parent cared for the little one. One evening, when the father returned home after a day of anxiety and business tension, his little girl climbed up on his knee and wrapped her arms around his neck. She said, "Papa, don't you get rich again. You did not come into our room when you were rich, but now we can come around you and get on your knees and kiss you. Don't get rich again, please, Papa." This story illustrates how zealous and ambitious we are to provide for the things our family supposedly want. Yet in our effort, we leave out what the real effect of our labor is, to leave them in abundance. So it is with our relationship to God. One of the things that we just need to concentrate on is just being there for our children and our family, not only on Father's Day, but on every day that we possibly can. I'm reminded that fathers in the Bible, when Jesus felt that his father, God, had forsaken him, because he said, you heard the script, he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And God said, in so many words, God said, I haven't forsaken my son, but he got the sin of the whole world on his shoulders, on his back. And I can't get through him when he got all that sin. And it's the same thing with us. We try to get a prayer through to the Lord, but sometimes we can't because of the sin. And the sin will block out God coming into us, block out a prayer that we have for the Lord. But the Lord say, yeah, this is my son, and I can't get to him, but I want to show the people that I am his father. And I know one of the things that we know, when your father has forsaken you, That's a bad thing. Other people can kick to the curb, but not that. Let me tell you something. God told the sun, don't shine no more, the moon,